from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was from a couple of weeks ago, and now we're 2.5 hours away, no longer 2 weeks. The Sands are slipping through the hourglass here on our PM team trade deadline roundtable. Dan Zangrilli, who you hear before the Astros game tonight, then after it on The Fan, Jason Mackey will be writing about all of this in the Post-Gazette. Malzie's here, Donnie as well. Derek Shelton put it right on the table not too long ago that they needed to add a bat. How about taking away from the Major League team to get one? What if there's another contending team who says, we have extra bats, which not many teams have that, but we have extra bats. We might even have a guy that's AAA ready who would start for most teams, but he can't start for ours because he's blocked, like when Giles was blocked in Cleveland or when Ryan Howard had Jim Thome ahead of him before the DH was in the National League. Something like that.
We've heard Ben Charrington talk a lot about the deadline and use a lot of words to talk about the deadline.
Oh my God, he's made more word salads than Olive Garden.
But if you listen closely, however,
he's talking about what we're talking about.
And he will kind of drop his subtle hints in there. You have to piece it all together like a rolling code. But he mentioned that contenders would trade with other contenders in the true baseball
Phillies
trade
and Orioles
sense.
Did that.
Right. And we could be looking at a situation where you involve major league talent with prospects or just a major leaguer for major league.
So it's pitching, like the Pirates have pitching.
Right.
Other teams have hitting. And
I would think the guy that starts tonight would be a candidate for that.
Very well could be.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that's dealing from a position of strength. I think that's striking while the iron is hot, so to speak. I think they have a lot of places they can go if they wanted to deal from a position of strength and acquire something they need.
I wonder if they would want their rotation to have a lefty that they liked in it, though, the old give them a different look thing.
Well, they still have Gonzalez and Perez.
I mean, a lefty they liked is why I said put that.
But what makes you think they like Falter more than those two guys, Malzie?
Because he's better than those two guys?
I'm not convinced. Danny, you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if I had my druthers of the three lined up, pick one, I'm going to pick Falter.
Because he's younger.
Yes, and I just think that, you know, extension, you know, long arms sneaks up on you. Some of the metrics are just a little bit better there. I think that there's a little more swing and miss. I would pick Falter, but that doesn't make him, by any stretch of the imagination, untouchable. That doesn't mean you can't go out and get like and kind in the offseason by either trade or signing. I mean, the bullpen's really an area that kind of stands out as something that's easily replaceable, and a small market team like the Pirates, if they would move somebody, they can replenish that. And that's been, I think, kind of a small market mantra. It was a Huntington staple. And to an extent, I think it's a Charrington staple. Just always trade relievers if you can.
Well, it should be schemable too, Dan, right? Like you're hunting matchups. You find this pitch that maybe wasn't used, didn't perform as well in a previous market. You should be able to bring that guy in, make him better, find something he does well, and make good use of them. And frankly, Charrington and company, they've done a pretty good job of that. They found guys and made them better.
Not overall,
as relievers.
Though, because you absolutely ripped his trade record to shreds today.
Well, that's a different discussion. That's a different discussion, isn't it? Like, we're not talking about finding a bit part reliever and making him useful. We're talking about trading Josh Bell, Clay Holmes, Jameson Taillon, and getting nothing back for them.
And so let's go ahead and tie a value to what all of the Harvard Ivy League GMs are talking about now. They're talking about pitch value. So if we want to talk about trading relievers or just trading, you know, assets and players.
Who's got the most valuable pitch in that bullpen?
The Majinski sweeper breaking ball is really good, and then obviously Holderman's got that. He's got a couple of pitches grayed out very well.
So when you say those guys, that's when you started talking about like the bullpen, that's the area where I think there's some redundancy because Chapman's been kind of on the comeback trail as far as being lights out. Majinski and Holderman are both righties with power stuff.
I know this is crazy to think. I mean, Dennis Santana's been really good.
Yes, he has been.
I don't know if they've really inflated the value on him. Maybe they think of him differently, and they make some other guys expendable. I don't know.
My point is, it just seems like for the 7th, 8th, and 9th, they have four pitchers for three innings right now.
You're right.
Off base.
I'd rather trade a prospect for a player, but if the only way to get a major league hitter is to deal with a contender who needs something now, and I have to give up a bullpen piece to do that, I would do it.
And I think that's where you can exploit desperation, maybe, with some of these contenders.
Right, they actually have leverage
I also think paradoxically that even though it's a major league player, you know what they can do. I almost get the feeling like that a guy like Charrington, who has talked about his prospects the way he has, would be more comfortable giving up a major leaguer for a major leaguer. Well, I know what this guy's done. I feel like I've probably seen the best of so-and-so, or I know what he is. Now, Clay Holmes obviously was not a situation like that, whatever. But like, I think that a guy like Charrington, there's so much value in the unknown of a prospect that it's easier to make a major leaguer for major leaguer deal sometimes.
And if it's plus three, when I say plus three or plus two or whatever, I'm talking years of control, and then we have somebody else that could be plus five, plus six.
That's why my theory on what they've said about Chapman, it almost makes me think that they've shopped them around and teams don't want him because of his salary. Because why else would they say that? If they're willing to take major league talent off this roster and get rid of a surplus player for a guy in a position of need, why wouldn't Chapman be someone that you thought about in that way?
I don't know.
He's done at the end of the year.
So when we're talking,
he's been up and down. He's been great lately, but he might 2 weeks from now not be able to throw strikes.
It behooves them right now for Derek Shelton to say what he said, right? Like, they might have shopped him, and they might come back with nothing, and they said, we're going to call him this, and then it's going to be dealing from a position of strength. I'm not sure.
You're also dealing with on the other end of the phone the nuance of that team's bullpen construction, whether they need a left-hander, whether they need a right-hander. Do they need a certain pitch in that bullpen? That's why I'm talking about pitch value. Hey, maybe we need a really heavy two-seam fastball to roll a double play, get out of an inning in inherited runner situations. We're good with our two left-handers. We need a right-hander. Or we need a swing and miss slider to the second and third no out situations when we need swing and miss. Maybe that's a Carmen Majinski type of thing. So that's when you get into that sort of stuff.
If Chapman was paid like a normal reliever, I think he could be traded.
I just don't think on the
three and a half million,
I just don't think
on,
if we're saying that Ben was willing to explore these options, I just deny the idea that Chapman was untouchable.
He's probably not, but again, it goes into like, hey, I have Chapman. Oh, yeah, we would like that guy, but we don't have a need for him. We need this. We need this type of pitcher, this handedness, this pitch type. We have two left-handers already that we feel comfortable about. We need a right. I'm just saying, when you get into those conversations with contenders.
Who's going to turn down a lefty with a two-seamer?
You might have redundancy in your bullpen. You don't need to carry three left-handers.
How many guys are like him, though, dude?
Chapman. I understand that.
I understand not paying $10.5 million or a prorated portion of that. I probably wouldn't do that either, but don't tell me they're like, you know, 25 or oldest Chapman's around the league.
I think he's a guy who, if a team is willing to still take Mr. Toad's wild ride, he's your closer if you need one, because he's going to throw 100 miles an hour.
Or I could do what Texas did last year with him, and he's your setup man and helps you get to a World
Series. That's my point. He's not. I don't even look at him as a lefty or a righty. I know he's a lefty. I look at him as he throws absolutely insane gas, and when he actually locates it, no one can hit him.
Well, and that's, you know, he's got a track record of that ugly stuff rears its head, man, maybe teams just don't want to deal with it. That, you know, if he's gonna, if we're gonna catch him on one of his downslides in the middle of September, we don't need to deal with that.
The money part of it, because it's the prorated amount of $10.5 million, is so ridiculous to me that everyone around baseball, like I don't doubt your guys' knowledge of this, but come on, there are big market teams for whom that is a drop
in
the bucket.
Can we talk about the fact that the Pirates are in this situation where we're desperate for guys like Dan mentioned, Kevin Pillar, who stinks, and Brian De La Cruz, who's a good player, not a great player. Because so many of their own internal options just blew up in their face this year. And you guys said that you don't think that Bob Nutting is like out on Ben Cherington, but if he's going to praise the guy for the work he's done with their young pitching, he has to be absolutely livid with what's happened with their young hitting.
I guess the only saving grace there is that you can, it's a league-wide epidemic.
But it struck them worse.
They're damn near
patient
zero.
They got hit by the depression worse than everybody else. Some cities, you know, survived the depression better than others, Dan.
I mean, Seattle's a pretty bad situation offensively.
Okay.
So I guess
good teams, it's them in Seattle, because the Marlins and White Sox are the only teams, generally speaking, who are worse offensively.
Right. I mean, but don't get me wrong. It is, there are aspersions to be cast, because there are definitely...
Another back of a Pirates t-shirt slogan. Aspersions to be cast.
This season was blown up by three guys, in my opinion.
Sawinski, Davis,
and Hayes. And I hate to stick a finger right in the chest of three guys, but...
Why? They all suck.
But it's not true.
Just them. I mean, I'm not absolving them. But, I mean, if you're Bob Nutting and we're talking about the Pirates developing younger players, that's not optional. That's not optional to be able to do that, to develop young hitters. And I agree with you, Andrew. The hitting has lagged behind the pitching. The pitching, you can give them a lot of credit for what they've done. Hitting has not held up its end of the bargain. That's not a right-now problem, but it's an off-season discussion
point.
The
approach just seems a complete mess that we've heard.
Well, wait a minute, Jason. Why wouldn't it have been addressed this year? I mean, other teams, Sean Casey went from hanging out in Upper St. Clair to putting a Yankees uniform on last year.
I don't think
it happens.
I know, and I don't see this organization doing that. I mean, I think we're past the point of talking about making a change with Andy Haynes in the middle of the season, right? I mean, at every turn, they've sort of backed this guy and backed the principles
that are going on.
I don't suddenly expect them to hire a brand new hitting coach.
The whole point of so many of these guys that get GM jobs now in baseball come from, like Dan said, this educational background where the answer of we've always done things this way and that's why we're going to continue to do them does not work as a defense or an argument. So the fact that the Pirates have really never fired a coach in season should not be a reason to keep
a guy
around.
I know, but what we're talking about isn't the fault of the Major League hitting coach. There's much more that goes into the development of young players than the Major League hitting coach.
But doesn't he set the agenda and it gets passed
down
to the minor
leagues? In a way, but you have an entire development wing.
So there's something far more overarching league-wide, and the Pirates, as you mentioned, have fallen more victim to it than others. And I'm just opening up a scorebook from random parts of the year in May. The Cubs... here are their 4-9 hitters. 215, 263, 216, 222, 147, 188. Let's flip forward to mid-June, Minnesota. Here's their 4-9 hitters. 261, 279, 273, 221, 222, 254.
Dan, but again, I'm going to say it's hit them worse than these other teams.
Tampa Bay, 214.
They're 28th in OPS.
They can ill afford to be the team that gets hit hardest by
it.
They've got to be on the cutting edge.
They do. And it's fair to question everything and even advocate for change, and that's something that I would look long and hard.
But I'm saying, if I were in Bob Nutting's shoes, I would say to my GM, you're asking me to open up the purse strings for you because the guys you told me were going to hit have not. And it's not, hey, everyone gets one or two guys wrong. No one does a perfect draft or no one develops every prospect. But it's like the whole...
Your 1-1 catcher can't hit. Right. Suddenly.
And
your outfielder who had real actual power, a coveted thing, a lefty thump bat.
And I think they screwed him up. That's my theory. I think they messed him up.
Sure. Jack Sawinski should go up to the plate with zero thoughts in his head other than swing bat hard.
Yep. Yes.
Instead, they tried to make Jack Sawinski into the cerebral assassin, and the only person he killed was his own career.
Yeah. Bingo. Bullseye.
Yep.
All right. We got to let you guys run. Does something big happen between now and 6? Jason?
Not big, but something does happen. I'll say De La Cruz happens.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm I'm in that camp. I think they're going to
say
pull
Kevin Pillar just to piss Pony off one more time. Just say Pillar, damn it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.